Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. We are live from Akron, Ohio.
No, we're in Fairlawn, actually.
We are right around the corner from Akron, Ohio.
We're in the greater Akron area.
Northeast Ohio, hello to you. We are out here for a panel that we're doing tonight, and we're very excited about it. It's talking about branding basics, and we're going to talk about our whole career. We're going to be on an esteemed dais full of dope people talking about branding. We're the only ones going to be talking about our career, but we assume other people will have good advice about what they have done.
I just want to have better advice than anybody else. I want to be more inspirational than any of these motherfuckers.
Did you think about what you were going to say on the plane out here?
No, I was just like, whatever anybody says, I'm going to one-up them.
All right. So yeah. Yeah, you're going to take their story and you're going to be like, well...
Yeah, I mean, that's cool, but... If you really want to be inspired.
That's right. Well, actually, we do have a really inspiring story, which is this. The other night, we were hosting a club date with Low Key from You Heard That New and Duce Palooza.
Yes.
And Goldlink.
Goldlink.
Grammy Award nominated artist. By this time.
Why are you putting Goldlink second?
It was Low Key from Duce Palooza.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
The Roc Nation branded party that grew out of a small apartment uptown in New York City.
Has anyone ever mentioned that?
Duce Palooza.
Yeah.
Not the other brand.
No.
Shout out to our friends over at Duce Palooza.
And Goldlink.
And Goldlink was there too.
Yeah.
And we are on the bill to, you know, hosting is a thing where you just, you know, stand on couches and you make a scene and people are like, I like those guys and I'm glad that I'm here. So we were there. We were on couches. The music is blaring. The people are having a good time. Loki's doing his thing. Just Dimmy was on the ones and twos. Everyone's having a great time. I check my phone and I look at Twitter. And this dude said, are the Roots really covering Waco by at It's the Real on the Tonight Show? Crying face, crying face. So what are we led to believe?
That it's a joke. Like, why would the Roots ever cover one of our songs?
There's no way that this is possible, right?
Yeah.
So we say, yeah, right. Show us evidence.
And he did.
He showed a video that he took from his phone of the television of the Roots covering our song Waco as Taylor Kitsch, an actor from the show Waco on NBC, walks on stage. And we listen on headphones and we're like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, we got to get out of here.
We cannot be here any longer.
No.
So we jump off those couches, grab our jackets, run and say goodbye quickly to our friends and be like, our music's on TV. Questlove was playing our music. Black Thought was rapping our song. This is crazy. We got to go. And we jumped in a car and we headed to go see The Roots, who had a residency all week for Grammy Week at the Gramercy Theater.
Yeah.
And did we see Questlove that night and say... Well, we did see him.
We ran into some friend of ours, Dan Glogower, who was like, oh, that's crazy. You should go say hi to Amir right now.
And thank
it's like,
him.
Yeah, and we're like, I mean, I don't think he knows us, but like, we're led up the stairs and Dan leaves us. And so now we are standing next to Black Thought, who is talking to Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, and it's not like Questlove is like on the stairs about to get on stage.
And it's not like we're going to be like, hey, you barely know us. You played our song the other night.
And excuse me, Dave, but...
Yeah, that's really important to us.
Thank you for this. No, yeah. we didn't do that. We were like, oh, we were up here by accident. Excuse us.
You know? We didn't say anything. We just walked straight through.
We came back the next night, though.
Yeah.
With the... And by the way, all three nights that we went to the Roots live performance, their Grammy Jam, were awesome. And as, you know, seeing friends and enjoying the music and watching the best band on the face of the earth kill it.
Yeah.
But really, we were there that third night for one reason and one reason only, to see Questlove afterwards and tell him thank you. So we were down there.
We're
in the sort of like VIP area, and Questlove is standing there, and we're like, hey, I put my hand out, and I'm like, Eric from It's the Real. And he goes...
Oh!
So we were just like, yo. And he was like, you guys. And we're like, thank you for playing our song the other night. And he was like, thank you for writing a song called Waco. And then Jeff said the best line of all,
which was, our publisher thanks you for getting us paid.
So that was amazing. Questlove is awesome. We got some fun stuff to talk about in terms of him and the Roots coming up real soon. But I do want to say this, guys. We set out to make this album for us. And for people who got our sense of humor and enjoyed our music and enjoyed the greater It's the Real creativity, we sat in that studio with Greg Mayo, you know, every session for 3 years crafting this thing and making it. And when we put it out, there was a certain excitement from having it out on all the streaming services and being able to download it. And there was an amazing feeling when we were on stage performing the songs. But this was like an excitement in a different way because it was so unexpected.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that we could like show our mom.
I don't even know that it means so much on a greater scale, but the fact that the Roots chose our song and played it and someone recognized that and hit us up, the surprise was just so amazing. And so what I want to say was, on our way out here on the plane, I re-listened to the whole album because... I don't know what other artists do, but I'm not there listening to our music every day. This is something we put out last May 26th.
Right, but you wanted to get our streams up.
I did. I wanted to hear it with fresh ears and be like, well, what was Questlove thinking when he pressed play on this? Or what did people think, you know, if they listened to it today? And it's really great, and I hope that people get a chance. I know we talk about it every week in the outro of this podcast, but really, if you want to hear bars and jokes and smart inside humor about rap and just good music overall, I hope you guys go to whatever streaming service you use, Tidal or Spotify or Apple Music or SoundCloud, everywhere where it's available, and press play. Just start at the beginning and press play. You're really going to enjoy this project. It's called Teddy Bear Fresh. If you want to hear the song Waco, just go press play on Waco. It might lead you to another song. It might lead you to another song. It might lead you to another song. We have a lot of material there. I'm super excited about it all over again. And we perform the songs regularly. And I was thinking about this too. It's like you get on stage and you rap and you don't even think about like the words. You know how the beat goes. You know when you jump in and you know how you react on stage. But re-listening to it again, I was really impressed. So shout out to Greg Mayo, who produces everything for us and was like super excited when Jeff texted him at 1 o'clock in the morning that this actually happened. Shout out to everybody who got excited online, on Instagram, on Facebook. Shout out to our mom, who we got to play it for, and Aunt Jane and everything. Shout out to Munir, who held us down for 3 days straight at the Roots shows and who's just a great human being. Shout out to Lee, who was our connect to get into the Gramercy Theater on a couple of those nights and said that he enjoys the podcast and comments and likes every time that we tweet. And guys, definitely go press play on that Teddy Bear Fresh project and just know that we're super excited about all the new music that we're recording right now. But this project that we put out not even a year ago should never be lost. Go enjoy that and let us know what you think.
Today on A Waste of Time with It's The Real, we have Guapdad 4000, who is an Instagram personality. He is a rapper. He is a force. We believe great things for him in 2018.
This dude came over and you know what? I gotta be honest, we didn't know a lot about him. We know what we've seen online. We don't know his background. He hasn't done any interviews.
Right, we have the first interview with Guapdad 4000.
There's so much that we talk about from growing up in West Oakland, his parents being scammers, he not having this sort of like idea of what he's gonna do after high school, he actually becoming a scammer, trying not to end up in jail like his parents. Him actually ending up in jail like his parents, his getting into rap. There's a lot that we sort of discover along the way about his psychology, about his relationships, about his ultimate drive once he figured out what he wanted to do with his life. And
we get to talk about his first video, or maybe not his first video, but his video for his song Money, where he is on a resplendent white horse.
So
with his do-rag just waving in the wind.
Like, I don't even want to spoil what he says or the answer to Jeff's question, but just know in the first 10 minutes, you guys are going to be like, this dude is destined for stardom. Like, his personality is infectious. His way of thinking is so unique, and his way with words is powerful.
It's only power moves over here. And by the way, the ending of this podcast might be one of the best endings of our podcast we've ever had.
Yeah, I didn't know it was going to go this direction. It is explosive at the end in the best way possible. Shout out to Guapdad 4000. Shout out to Sam, his manager. Thanks to everybody who helped put this thing together. Again, this is a big get for us. Shout out to everybody who's gotten excited about this episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Trail Mix, a.k.a. Counterfeit Checks.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Fuck With The Vision, a.k.a. LASIK Instinct.
Yo, what's up? It's Guapdad 4000, a.k.a. the leader of the Armani Army, a.k.a. the Ferragamo Falcon, a.k.a. the nigga with the Bushimi Bank butter biscuits, a.k.a. the Burberry Bang Bang.
Yeah, it's a waste of time, but it's the real.
For now.
What's happening?
What's good?
Yo, when we told people that we were having you coming on the podcast, do you understand how many people in New York were excited? Do you understand how many people outside New York were excited? Like, we're super excited, but for all the people out there who know of you via your social media, via your music, just via your name, this is a big get for us. We're thrilled that you're here.
That's dope to hear. I was surprised when I found out this many people were, like, fucking with me out this way.
You mean just these two people?
No, I was talking, like, on Instagram, I just posted, like, a bullshit-ass picture. I didn't even think I was, like, maximum handsome, because that's my requirements. I got to be maximum handsome before I upload, and I'm like, this is, like, medium handsome. I'm putting up anyway. And then it was just booming, like, we were in a meeting. I was going through like 180 DMs like, yo, you in the city? Every New York dude was telling me it's his city.
Who's looking for you?
Everybody, I guess. Like,
I mean, you're going to hang out with Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope. How did he first discover you? Or when did he first discover you?
You know, I don't know, to be honest. I'm cool with Johnny Shipes.
Mm-hmm.
That's his mans.
Yep.
So he was just like, man, you got to get with Cam. You like the new Cam. And I was like, don't put that on my shoulder. But I'm like, let's do it.
Last night, you hosted a party at Up and Down.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was cool. I like the vibe in there.
Yeah.
Up and Down's like, it seems like a bougie spot.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. It's like a bunch of like bankers and like coked out NYU students. Mm-hmm. But also like, you'll have like a Travis Scott in there. You'll have Chase B in there.
What were your duties as someone who hosted last night?
I'm usually just the Hennessy handler. They give me the Hennessy and I handle it. That's it. So they actually told me that they had no Hennessy in the building.
Why?
Shit, I don't have a fuck.
So what'd you do?
I was pissed. Yeah. I mean, I got Duce.
Okay, all right, mm-hmm.
You know, got to support. It's black owned.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Man, that shit tore me up. it started taking effect, so I'm like, I'm going to walk upstairs. It's hella hot downstairs. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to walk upstairs. I walk upstairs, and like, the homie's manager was like, oh, come meet my homie. It was Bryson Tiller. So Bryson Tiller brought me into a section. He was like, yo, I fuck with you. Like, you, like,
wait, Bryson has energy like that?
Yeah. He turned up. Whoa. He turned up when he seen me. I was juiced. I was stoked. Cause
you were off the Duce. Yeah.
I'm a big Bryson fan.
Yeah.
I cried to that nigga shit. I was like breaking up with my bitch. Like,
you telling that?
On the road. No, not yet. Okay, but I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something you say in a club.
No,
like, hey,
not in the first meeting.
Tell Cam that you cried to Bryson shit. He'll be like, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell Bryson you cried to Cam shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was super juiced the first time I like fully tapped in with Cameron as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I called him. I FaceTimed him like, bro, this shit crazy. This is crazy. But yeah, that was up and downy. A few of my partners from the Bay and LA were out here.
That's cool.
For the weekend.
For Grammy week. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any trouble at the door with like your group coming in?
Nuh-uh.
They were like, as many as you want, we're good.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's good.
I heard it was gonna be some door troubles.
That's a tough door. That's a tough door.
Not for Guap Dat.
No. No. I've got a question, I just don't know how to ask it, but how are you with riding horses? I guess that's a pretty straightforward question. How are you with riding horses?
I'm a fucking natural. I swear to God.
Was that your first time?
Yeah. Like, he told me what to do. Because I rode...
Who, the horse?
No. The trainer. His handler. I rode caribou in the Philippines before, right? Because we just have caribou to... Like, we got a little sugar cane farm and they, like, plow. So, I rode a caribou. Mm-hmm. So, I was like, all right. I've been on the top of an animal before. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, keep your feet pointed up. This is the type of posture you need to have. Hit this way, hit this way. And he told me, like, I look like I've been riding my whole life. And I told him, shit, because I have a fucking Cartier cowboy. Let's get it.
It is a beautiful horse. Did it have a name?
Drifter.
Drifter.
Wow. Yeah, I remember. It's Drifter. I got it. Hold on.
That's very Wild Wild West.
No, look, you got to see this picture that I took. I took a selfie with the horse.
How long were you on the horse for?
I was on the horse for maybe the collected time of like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We got the shots and then he had to go because they had like other shit to do.
The horse.
The horse, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a busy horse.
Yeah. Yo, Drifter is, you know,
popping.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my favorite selfie with the horse. And you can see He got his eyes closed when he embraced me. Look how grateful that horse is to be touching me.
It's nuzzling up against your cheek.
Mm-hmm. Yo, its nostril is almost as big as your face.
Exactly. That's he got to smell places of the falcon that other people don't get. Like, he knows.
You both look so majestic.
Right?
Yeah.
Two wild animals in a natural habitat who would never otherwise interact.
But how's the caribou looking?
Oh, he died. Charles died.
Damn. R.I.P.
Caribou don't live for that long.
No?
This was years ago. I was in middle school.
I feel like caribou probably live for a very long time.
Yeah, when you got one of them and, like, you're feeding him whatever because, like, you giving him scraps or whatever.
Charles the caribou.
Yeah.
Drifter the horse.
Mm-hmm.
The Ferragamo falcon.
Exactly. I've been having affinity for wildlife forever.
Yeah. Do you watch documentaries?
Mm-hmm. All the time. Planet Earth. All the ones Morgan Freeman narrates. And then that one other guy.
Richard Attenborough.
You know who the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah. We're on the same wave, yeah.
Yep. Planet Earth, Mother Earth, all the BBC ones. Volcano doc. I like nature.
And you're good with, like, actually being in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can camp out?
For sure.
All right.
My pops, like, if anything, I say he was super consistent on my whole life. We take family camping trips in the summer. I haven't been able to go to them because I'm, like, doing this thing now, but I want to go to the one hopefully this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got, like, pitch tents from scratch, fires. I know how to make Swedish log fires.
What?
Like, hang hammocks, everything.
See, you're talking to two guys who, like Jews don't camp, right? So, like, yeah. All we do is complain. So, it's just not going to work.
It's cool.
We're very good at that, though.
Yeah, y'all, I'm black.
Yeah.
That's what my black women cousins do. They come and complain. Yeah. So, trust me, I hear a lot of complaints. Why don't I get no service out here?
Yeah. When you're camping?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Trust me, they try to get on that phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Bugs and shit. Yeah.
We want to start at the very beginning. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
Where are you originally from?
West Oakland.
Okay. What is growing up in West Oakland like?
Growing up in West Oakland is like, I can now look at a picture of my kindergarten class of 20 and cross off 13 people.
Wow. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
And you're, just for everyone out there, you're not like, you know, an 80-year-old man.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
I'm 25.
Right. So, it's rough. Do you have older siblings?
No, I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
So you go through everything first.
Everything.
So elementary school shit's rough?
Honestly, my parents were scammers too.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't face poverty until like high school is when it was like horrible. Like, and I realized I was really from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
But like my parents was getting money. Especially my mom. My mom was, like, doing most of the work because, like, and I don't want to use this as an excuse for my pops, but, like, you hella young and you get money, you handsome, you got hella bitches, and, like, you take this girl virginity and she get pregnant at the same time.
Mm.
She 13, you 15. You, like, finna run from that shit for a while. So, like, when I was in my early youth, he wasn't really, like, fathering shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he'd come around and just give me shit, and that was his way of being a dad. So, like, I'd have hella clothes and shit. Like, I got all the fucking magic markers and the art sets and the fucking buy now, $19.99 type shit. You know what I'm saying?
But you have the time with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was all just to answer that. I had some shit when I was, like, a youth.
Mm.
Yeah.
But mom looked out, and mom was doing both the jobs?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And how many younger siblings you have?
I got two on my mom's side and four on my pop's side, one of which I have never met.
Well, really?
Yeah. My pops was facing like a murder trial. Whoa. And he ended up beating it, but it was supposed to be a rap. Like the court fucked up on something and had to drop it, but it was a rap.
Yo, how young are you having all these realizations about like what your parents are up to?
Super young.
Yeah.
I'm like a genius. I'm super self-aware. I've always been this way. So I knew early on I've been sharp.
So were any of your friends aware what was going on, or was that something that you could keep like at home?
I mean, I told like my close partners, but you know, I'm from Oakland. My story isn't even that unique when it comes to like hardships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about your mom's parents? Were they like in the picture at all?
Yeah, for sure. My grandpa, he's a merchant marine from the Philippines.
Wow.
I mean, from Louisiana, that was stationed in the Philippines. That's how he met my grandmother. He was walking in to get his pocket fixed. So his like whatever commanding officer didn't drill him about it. And then my grandma was working in her auntie's sweatshop.
Mm. Yeah. You were ahead of the curve in terms of like your maturity as a young man. Were you
not maturity? Because I'm still like hella immature. Yeah. Honestly, I was just sharp. I was just
so you're like, street smart.
Yeah.
Were you book smart?
Yeah.
Were you
exactly.
Good at school too.
Honor roll.
Honor roll.
Yeah. I graduated with high honors actually
from high school.
Yeah.
What was your like interest in high school? Like, what were you like looking to get into past 17, 18 years old?
I had no idea.
Nothing.
I didn't know. I
wasn't
had no
gonna be college,
fucking idea.
Wasn't going to be like.
I mean, I wanted to go to college, and then I ended up like at a community college. But I went to a private school on an art scholarship in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah, it was a French American International High School.
And what was your focus?
Fine arts.
So, like, you could paint, you could draw?
Paint, draw, sketch, sculpt,
and
design.
What even got you into, like, fine arts? Are you, like, going to museums as a kid? I mean, like, are you going to San Francisco? Are you going to, like, what is your world at that point?
Anime.
Strictly?
It all started with anime because I just wanted to draw the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Ball Z specifically.
Yeah.
So I just started drawing Goku, and then I noticed that I'm like kind of getting good at this shit. It's a library like down the street from my house. They got like how to draw books. My pops had like robbed his truck, or like one of the crackheads I was working for him like robbed a truck, and he gave me like 800 comic books. So then I would just go through the comics, like draw shit and shit like that.
Were you creating your own characters too?
Nuh-uh. It was all just strictly I had a paper.
Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point, you got to consider too, like, so many of your classmates aren't making it, right? How do you know that you're going to be the guy who gets out?
Well, luckily, I went to like a really good middle school. It was like trying to petition to be a charter school. It's called Kitt Bridge Academy. I think there's one in New York, maybe like two or three of them. But it was like a small thing where they like paid you to go to the school. You got like a paycheck and shit.
Wow.
But it was super rigorous. You start at 6:30 and don't leave till 6.
Do you have to wear a uniform? Yeah. What's the uniform like?
Khakis and fucking like Jewish clothes.
What are they
not? Yeah,
what,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you wearing like a yarmulke?
Damn near.
So every day everyone's looking the same.
It was
best behavior.
Yeah, I hated it, but I liked being around hella smart ass people too.
Did that
then
up
you
your
don't
game?
Feel like weird.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. No, yeah, for sure did. That's what got me even like aware of like the private school circuit and shit. Then that's how I was able to get into that school.
Was it? And it's not all like boys.
No. I lost my virginity to a girl that I was going to school with in sixth grade.
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
And so you were mature.
I mean, we started fucking hella early. Like,
sixth grade is early.
Yeah. Like, I was mad that I didn't lose in the fifth grade, like my partners. Like, we start fucking so early in the Bay that I was lying to my homies since, like, maybe, like, the fourth grade about getting pussy. Because it was, like, rumors about, oh, such and such had, like, had sex. And, like, I was trying to be one of them dudes, so I was lying for the longest.
How do we know you're not lying now?
Because I'm that nigga. But when you, like, when I just remember, like, fucking for the first time, and it clicked, like, halfway into it. It wasn't like, I'm nervous going in, because I've been lying about actually fucking for so long, I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
So then it clicked, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yo,
this is warm as fuck.
We went to public school. They didn't even start teaching health class until seventh grade. So by that point, you're in health class, so you're just like, oh, yeah, no, yeah.
See,
that's me.
But I learned sex ed in seventh grade too.
Yeah.
But it was a whole, like, man, that picture they was painting was something something drastic. Yeah,
I mean, you're not seeing the actual insides of a woman on a
man, and then you're not seeing like the rotting insides or infected insides.
I mean, that's one way to paint the picture.
Mm-hmm. Because so, that's what they were showing us. Because they was like, y'all, you know what a dick is. You know what pussy is. Mm-hmm. This is what... Oh. That won't happen again, I promise.
That's a warning to everybody right, out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. See, look. But this is what is going to happen to you nasty motherfuckers if y'all keep running around here humping like rabbits.
What kind of trouble were you getting into in middle school?
I was a thief.
A thief?
Yeah.
Like a good thief or just
an
like...
An amazing thief.
An amazing one?
Mm-hmm. I only got caught because I would forget that I stole something after having it for so long. And then I'd bring it around.
Mm, like what? Like a bike?
Bikes. Little trinkets, rings, necklaces, wallets.
Yeah, things that
Game
when,
Boys,
when people
games,
see them, they're like, oh,
CDs.
That's my shit.
Yeah.
I never stole from like my friends, but I used to steal from other people.
It's really reassuring that we have you in our apartment, by the way. Are you off the... How long did you do the thievery thing for?
Maybe up until like 10th grade.
Oh, thank God.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Where did you learn that from? Like, did you have friends who did it, or was this just like, you're like, let me see what I can do?
I just used to be obsessed with ninjas and like assassins and shit like that. So I was just wanted to be like slick. I was trying to master like sleight of hand and shit. I'm still like a pretty good pickpocket if I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really get to utilize that skill in the field of rap.
Right. That actually would be a really dope cover if you were like just a rapper so you could get close to people and then steal like watches and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
You have very, very smart. All these people in the crowd watching you and then yeah. you just like little sleight of hand. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So was music a part of your life at any point in that time?
We had a really good theater teacher who was just like obviously an underground rapper, but I didn't piece it together as a youth. I just thought like, man, this nigga like rap music too. His name is right. Mr. Cuevas. Latin dude, super down to earth, but like will drill you like your uncle if you know what I'm saying. He was that type of dude. So he used to bring like his rap partners and they taught us how to scratch and shit.
What?
Yeah. And this was all in 5th and 6th grade. Before his rap partner like got signed to some whatever and then they never came back. But we used to like have ciphers and shit. And that's when I really start like kind of doing it, but that's as early as it goes. It wasn't like I got a notebook and I'm rapping. That's when I just really like start fucking with it.
But what were you listening to?
Just Bay Area shit, man. Mm-hmm. Like
Keek the Sneak.
Keek, the Jacka, E-40, Mac Dre's God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's my musical lord and savior.
Hmm.
And everybody else that was like, even my ears were so open at that point. Like, if you were from the Bay, I was listening to it. And of course,
The Pack.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
The Pack, Go Dave, all those people.
Do you think you were sort of like at the forefront of like kids who understood music, or do you think like you got it from some of your friends?
No, I think just the Bay as a whole, we was like hive minded.
Yeah.
Which I think came later to bite us in the ass as like a generation.
Why do you say so?
Well, because everybody was just on the same wave of being a hive mind, just in terms of, and not my generation, but the people who were making music at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, bam, we doing this, we doing hyphy, we doing this, and nobody really like broke out of that.
Right. It's
unfortunate.
You were in your own cocoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like if a new song dropped, even if it was like just a nigga in East Oakland like picking up a mic, people knew about it. Like it was on Sidekicks, Nokia ringtones, early before Sidekicks. Like fucking what's that site that we used to go on Nokia's and like download MP3. I forgot what it was on, but it was only on Nokia's though. But you just knew. I don't think that I was any type of super like advanced for like picking up on shit.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't like going to like notright.com, Two
Dope
Boys.
Not yet.
I did a little bit of research. I saw you did an interview and I'm forgetting the name of the website, you might remember, but you talked about how you were walking down the street and you would get recognized by people and they were just like interested in how you looked.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what are you, like a rapper?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you were like, well, I might as well rap.
Exactly. That's basically how
it happened. What was your look?
Remember I told you I used to steal, right?
Yeah.
So I taught bitches how to steal for me. And they would, I sent them into Neiman's and Barney's and like department stores and shit. And I was just like collecting silks. Versace had like reintroduced their old school silks for a while. So I got all of those. I got some Hermes silks, like some Cartier shit. And then I would just wear them, giving them my niggas. We all be like super sauced out. So that's why people thought we were rapping, because we were walking around looking like Biggie.
You got little staff who you send into the stores.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you trust that they're going to do their job and bring it out. And then what? How do you split it? Like, you're like, all right, this is what I want. And then do they get some money, or do they get like some
Yeah, I mean,
too?
Because at the end of the day, I'm having them steal so we can put it on my big homie DJ's Amazon and just sell the
Flip
shit.
Flip it. Mm. Gotcha.
So
yeah.
Once PayPal clears in like whatever business days, it goes to this my like little bitch account, and then I take it out of, I had her debit card, so I just take it out of hers, leave some in there for her, and then the other bitches is just doing it for dick.
From you?
Me or my partners, it just depends.
Yeah. Man, this is a good operation.
Yeah, this
it was
is
cool. Yeah, no.
The business model like works. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, you could take this to Shark Tank.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure.
So, but at some point,
Mark Cuban pulled me to the sidelines.
See, but you need a good pun at the end where you're like, now which shark wants to get like this dick?
Wait, so at certain points you would wear some of this shit though, and people would see it, or mm-hmm. you would like carry some of this shit and they would see it?
I would just wear it. I'll keep like my favorites. I was a young nigga like with $600, $800 shirts.
And so what happens when someone's like, yo, where'd you get that?
Barney's. Where's that?
Would your mom ask you?
Oh no, my mama knew. My mama knew. But she was only around for a certain amount of time before she went to jail while all this was happening.
When was that?
She went to jail like shortly after we start, because we people were like, "What are y'all doing?" So we start throwing parties before we can make a song because an opportunity had presented itself. But my mom went to jail like in the middle of our party hype.
How does that feel to watch your mom go away?
It sucks that I was already really used to it. My mama had went to jail for smaller amounts of time before. My pops was always in and out of jail, so I just knew that it came with the territory for what they was doing.
Were you visiting your dad? Or did he not want to?
Nah, I don't know. I was reflecting on this. Maybe like a couple of weeks ago, but I always had a thing like I never cared to like write or visit my parents. If they called me, then I would talk, but I didn't want to like write or visit them.
So if your mom was doing like, you know, smaller stints at a time, were you left in charge since you're the oldest?
See, before it was my grandma, because she was we all stayed in her house on 10th Street. But once my grandma had, like, she started getting sick and she got cancer and she just, like, ran away to Arizona.
For treatment?
Nah, to run away. I got family out there. Mm. So she was out there and nobody knew that she had it. I didn't know. Nobody knew.
Just one day she up and left?
Nah, it was just kind of, it was smooth. When I say run away, it's like, in her mind, that's why she was dipping.
Yeah.
But, like, in our mind, she just needs to, like, it's so much going on at the house. She just need, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's when responsibility fell in my lap.
Yeah, so you're making sure that, you know, you got a younger brother and sister?
Yeah.
So you make sure that they're, like, awake and going to school and, like, fed and good.
School
and
clothes.
Coming back at night.
Breakfast.
That's a lot for, I mean, you're still young at that point. Yeah. Like, that's a lot to take on. Did you think, like, this is unusual?
I didn't realize how unordinary that it was, out of the ordinary, until like halfway into it. Cause I just be like, all right, it is what it is. I'm such an it is what it is type dude. Same thing with losing my virginity. It's like halfway into it, it hits me. That's with everything.
You're looking after your brother and sister. You got your different hustles. You know, that's bringing in money.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking that you're ever going to leave West Oakland?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is I want to. My brother, so like I had moved my partners into my house so we could pay the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. How many?
Six of us.
Holy is there cow. Room for six people?
We got like a five bedroom.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, my grandpa was super good at like carpentry and shit, so mm-hmm. he built a whole another floor. We had, it was a one story house. He turned it to a two.
Mm-hmm.
And downstairs, we kind of just trapped it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, me and him shared a room. There was a middle room. Upstairs, plus once my mom went to jail, I just moved into her room, and then it was like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Were there rules in the house?
Yeah, just don't go in my grandma's room. Because she's back and forth, so yeah. She's in and out. And then she's like super at the church a lot. Because my grandma's a nun, a Catholic nun, third order.
What? Well,
yeah.
Does that mean that religion was a part of your life?
For sure. I grew up devout Catholic.
Wow.
Like
Sunday school, the whole thing?
Sunday school, catechism, communion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you still go to churches, you know, on regularly?
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
So you move all your friends in,
yeah.
Or at least five or six of them in.
Yeah.
Don't lowball him.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So,
all your friends, like, you know.
No, but that was all my, like, I didn't want nobody else. I didn't want to be friends with nobody else. We so tight-knit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was it. That's all I needed. Was these was the dudes I was going to take over the world with. We throwing parties. We, like, at the time, because of, like, me being famous on Tumblr, because of that house,
mm-hmm.
like, I didn't need nobody else.
Well, how did you get famous on Tumblr?
Mm-hmm. So, it was just, we like, wanted to get on Tumblr because that's where all the bitches was at.
Mm-hmm. And thank God it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we was just like, man, we need to start taking pictures. And then this dude who would, like, pop up at the house because he used to fuck with my mom was just, like, a scammer dude. And he just, like, scammed for us a good-ass Nikon with, like, a lens kit. And we were going to use that to, like, film a TV show in the house about all the crazy shit we was doing. But we didn't have a laptop. So we just used it to take pictures and then uploaded it at my homie's house on his desktop.
And what was the vision?
It wasn't no vision. We was just doing just Tumblr viral. Shit. Yeah, it was just, like, taking pictures in, like, these silky-ass shirts.
And what's a good post at that point? Like, how many likes, how many, like...
I mean, it started off when I got my first 100 followers. I'm like, all right, I'm popping.
Yeah.
Right? And then that kind of spiraled up and up and up to where now I'm getting like 10,000 reblogs. Now I got like 100,000 reblogs. My followers is like from like 25K to like 150K. And I'm just like, man, I'm getting recognized from it now
because
mm-hmm. Tumblr's like the thing.
Right.
And at the time, I'm only talking to like mixed artsy hoes. So they completely know who I am or at least have seen me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And did it work? Did you get...
I was fucking all them. I fucked a lot of bitches who are now, like, Instagram famous.
Really?
Who's fucked more girls, you or Base God? Who's fucked more bitches, excuse me, you or Base God?
You know, I don't know. Back in the pack days, I know he was running through them. Yeah. Well, but I fucked hell of bitches.
Well, because everybody offered up their bitches for Lil B to fuck.
Yeah, but he didn't accept all the offers.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you did have, you know, your business model was, you know, steal from me and I will give you dick.
There you
go. Yeah.
See, people got to understand, like, at this time is when everybody's discovering sex, everybody's fucking the most. We're like either...
Everybody in
school,
your group. It wasn't like the world.
In the Bay, yeah. In the Bay. Like, that's how it was.
Oh, sex was the thing in the Bay. Okay.
Yeah.
Dope.
So, like, that's just how it was. Like, we meeting up, and after the functions, it's time to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We damn near ducking off from the party to, like, go fucking and come back in here.
So, were the parties at your house?
They were at my house, and then the huge parties that we got famous for were at warehouses. The Moose Lodge, like shit like that. Lodges and shit.
How did you end up calling them whatever you called them?
Alright, so we were calling them Project X because the party movie, mm-hmm. Project X. It was actually...
I mean, you were stealing, so... You might as well steal the name, too.
And it wasn't even my idea. Some older dudes from North Oakland came to me and was like, man, y'all popping right now. Like, I am the most internet famous person in the Bay.
You?
Yeah. At this point in time, nobody else is going viral for anything, and I'm just like super popping. Everybody knows who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they came to me. Plus, my niggas is also, either just as popping or like right under. So we need y'all to be the face of this thing. I'm like, all right, cool, yeah. How much you gonna give us pay? And they was like, we give y'all $200 each. I said, hell no. And then it was like, all right, well, we give y'all 25%. But you gotta do it. He tried to make it seem like normal throwing a party shit was hella hard. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. After that party, they counted up $30,000 on the table in front of me. And I said, I want 50-50.
Yo, wait, hold up, wait. They were gonna offer you $200
each.
And you ended up with how much that night?
I don't remember the cut.
But more than 200.
Yeah, definitely more than that. Because we were only splitting it three ways at that time before we were splitting it six ways on the next ones.
Wait, what does that tell you about people from North Oakland?
Yeah. That's hella funny. But so, yeah, pretty much.
All right, so now this party shows you, like, that's a real moneymaker.
Yeah, it showed us, like, this is it right here. And then we had paid, I forgot who we paid. I can't remember who it was. I think we paid Mr. Fab to come through.
That's our guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fuck with Fab.
Yeah.
Did he have to come perform, or was this a walkthrough?
He came up and like did it. No, it wasn't even Mr. Fab.
Oh, damn.
It was Irk the Jerk.
All right.
We don't know him, but shouts to Mr. Fab, but shouts to Irk the Jerk.
Yeah. Irk the Jerk, he's one of my favorite people from the Bay. He's an older, he's not
hella old. I know the name, I'm just saying I don't know him. Yeah, not personally.
And no disrespect to Fab, I fuck with Fab.
Yeah.
But we paid Irk the Jerk to come through, and I remember like giving him the money hella salty. And I'm like, bro, this could be us. We might as well really, really rap. So by the next party, I had learned how to make beats, or at least started to.
You know, what software are you using?
FL.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded it on one of my pops. My pops had got out of jail, and we were at his house. He gave me a laptop. He didn't really give it to me. I just kind of took it.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah. On brand, yeah.
And that's when I started. He would then disappear. It was a time where I don't know if he went to jail or like what he was doing.
You didn't ask?
No.
Yeah.
I don't. If I don't hear from my dad, honestly, for like a couple weeks, he in jail.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And where's your mom at this point?
In jail still. She was doing a 3-year bid around this time, and they wanted to give her like 8.
Jeez.
Yeah, but my mama finessed. She got into like a rehab program in Buffalo.
New York.
Yeah.
Jesus.
In Buffalo, New York, because she was in Rikers. She went down out here on the East Coast. And then she like finessed. She said she, like when she had to, I don't know what it's called, like that little meeting where like you can like get time shaved off or whatever, and like they tell you you ain't shit. She was like convinced him that she was addicted to money.
Was she?
Yeah, but I mean that's something that you gotta win over when everybody else is talking about. Yeah, I'm doing coke.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah,
know what I'm saying?
My addiction.
Yeah, she convinced him that she was addicted to money, and that's what she went to rehab for.
You have your high school diploma, right?
Uh huh.
You have this party business now.
Yeah.
And you got 2 younger siblings that you're looking after at home. And are you like, yo, this is not only like my present but my future? Like, I'm just gonna like throw parties until it ends?
Yeah, I thought we were gonna throw parties forever, but Oakland Police Department had like
a different opinion.
I mean, we were going about it the super legitimate way. We knew that we needed a party permit. We just didn't know specifically how to get one. Went up to the police station, hurry up and went in there, cause like any nigga like walks to the police station from the front and not like the court side, niggas looking at you weird. So we meet this dude named Officer Espinoza, and he's like, oh yeah man, you need this type of permit and this type of police chaperone for like an expectancy of over like 1,000 people. Gave him $800 that he sent one officer to the party the day of. We were set. By the fourth party, we came in and he slapped us with file about as big as that book right there.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, this y'all complaints. This is the Facebook. And like, really, it was that thick. Our complaints were probably like this, but it was this because he printed out the full Facebook thing of like the thread, the party thread, and he's like, yeah, people are talking about all kinds of crazy things.
Who are these people? Neighbors or
just no, like, just like because he knows people are smoking in the venue.
Yeah.
He knows there's drinking. So he's like, I want 8,000 from 800. And I was like, all right. We got it. Gave that to him. Threw the party. The next one, he wanted to charge us 15 bands. We found a workaround. Oakland has an art and soul festival. And it's downtown Oakland. It's right in front of City Hall. And we just found, we lucked up and talked to a lady that was working in City Hall who does like public events. And she knows the dude. And she was like, oh no, I can get you that. So she got us that, and he was hella mad.
Yo, Officer Espinoza.
Yeah, no, he a bitch ass. Yeah. I hate him. And he can do whatever he wants. He don't got a boss. It's just him in an office.
Damn. So what were the signature things that people would recognize from one of your parties, a Project X party?
Oh, man, we would we would get like bounce houses, just like the movie. We had mechanical bulls, strippers. We do like a smoke line. Like, bitches will line up on stage, just pass the blunt, like a twerk line. Bitches just come out in panties and bras. It was crazy. And we film. Like, in general, it was a good vibe, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
But we filmed the most grimy, ratchetest, like, wild, sweaty shit. We put that in a recap video, sent it to Worldstar, and Worldstar was posting everything. Just because it was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
White people would see the shit, and then RSVP for the next one. We didn't have an RSVP. We had no thing as pre-sales. So we'd be like, okay, whatever your fucking name is from sorority from Michigan. Next one, you got 60 tickets. They're going to be at the door.
Yeah. So that line was just nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy. The line would be like 2 blocks long. It was impossible to throw it without like a police officer just driving by and seeing it. So we needed police escorts because, or else they come shut us down.
And they needed 60 tickets.
What was the biggest party you guys threw?
Probably the last one. Yeah. It was huge. It was so crazy. It was, this story's hella funny because I'm getting, you know, you throw a party, people calling you all the time.
Yeah.
I got a call from, I didn't know what 213 was. I had never talked to anybody from LA on the phone.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, I heard you guys like are throwing a party. Is this YB Keem? That was my name at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, this is him. And she was like, cool, I'm Deborah Lee. I run BET. My son's in town. He's in like San Francisco with the New Boys. He wants to come through the party. And the whole time, I'm like, how the fuck did she get my number?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how she did. And I was like, yes, Miss Lee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bring him through.
And then he came through with the New Boys?
I don't know.
Oh.
I think he did.
Yeah.
But we had the actual actors from Project X. We flew them out.
What?
Yeah. We had them there. We like I was dealing with like Krayshawn and V Nasty, and V Nasty was like trying to get a gun in. What? And we was like, no. Because at the time we needed to be the ones with the guns in the party.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So no.
Yeah, right. No competition.
Yeah, especially, like, and no offense to her, but she's a girl, so if too many niggas rush her and just take her shit, now we gotta worry about somebody who's not a public figure who can actually use it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just assuming that she would make the career smart decision.
What was your relationship like with Krayshawn and V-Nasty?
I mean, I didn't know him like that. They just wanted to come to the party.
Mm. Why was this the last?
I had met Lil Debbie at Urban Outfitters in Berkeley, and I called her Krayshawn. And she was like, no, my name's Jordan. I'm Lil Debbie. And I was like, cool, can I get your number?
Did it work?
I got her number, but we never, like, did followed up with anything.
Why was this the last party?
Because we lost that lady's number that got us the party permit. I'm pretty sure she got chewed out. And this dude, like, wanted $15,000 for the next permit.
Yo. But you guys were making, like, way more money than that, right?
Yeah, it's just that at this point, it's not worth it. Next thing you know, he gonna want $30,000. And we're already in a position to where we completely don't need the niggas who idea it was anymore. Because, like, we are the face of it, mm-hmm. no matter what. Like, they were making recap videos for it and shit, and, like, they would shout themselves out and do, and you could tell, like, it was, like, it was their thing, but at the end of the day, people was coming for us. The new dance craze, like, the fucking Yike movement in the Bay that was invented partially at my parties. And another cool story from the parties is I was getting, like, I got a message on Facebook from this dude, Dominic, and he was like, yo, I got this song. I recorded it, but I want to, like, shoot the video at your party. I told the nigga no. Because back then, I hadn't checked myself yet. Well, reality hadn't checked me, or I hadn't been humbled yet. So I'm super up my own ass, like, head so big you can't sit behind me type shit.
You're killing it.
I'm like, nah, nigga. The stage for us. If you ain't super more popping, like, if you aren't already a rapper, hell no.
Right, if you're not the new boys.
And we weren't even going to let the new boys perform. We just wanted them to come.
Right. Yeah.
This dude was like, yeah, he came anyway. And my brother told him yes, because he hit us all up. My brother told him yes, and my brother D's nice, way nicer than me, still to this day. He's super good-hearted. So he was like, yeah, no, this dude finna come up. I'm like, that Dominic dude, yeah. He's like, yeah, he says his name like Sage the Gemini or something. Yeah, and that's how I met Sage.
Wow. That's crazy.
Was that, like, his first, like, viral hit from that party?
It wasn't. He ended up shooting a video at the party, I think. But he reshot it once he had, like, a budget.
But you became friends with Sage, right? No?
I mean, we just kind of knew each other. I wouldn't become friends with Sage until later on.
Gotcha. So what is your vibe sort of like tell you about like yourself at this point? Like you know what kind of tone you set at this party and what you can do for a crowd of just like thousands. But what's that say about you as like an entertainer yourself?
It only like worsened my ego to keep it 100 because I'm so big in like the power of the mind and manipulation. That word sounds sinister, but I always like to see like what I can get away with and or get people to do. So for me it was just like I was just getting high off my own sauce, like, damn, I can control a room of this many people.
Yo, it started from sending two girls into Barney's.
Yeah, I learned early on, I think if I was in like third grade, when usually if you talk to somebody in a certain way that puts them in that pocket, 95% of people gonna stay in that pocket. Mm.
Was that the case with the five friends who lived with you? Were you the leader?
I was the accidental leader. I never like bossed up on none of my niggas or nothing like that. I just got a strong personality and I just helped ultimately make the decisions. Like I was the leader. Mm-hmm. I'm the most talented. So I'm doing a lot of the work, but they know that I'm like working with them and not making them, you know, it was never like I run shit around here, but I just was like the leader. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So you did talk about how you said you got humbled.
Yeah.
When is that?
Oh, we fell off after the parties. We couldn't throw another one because we couldn't get another permit. And then once niggas spent their money, that means other people will have to spend more to like catch up for their cut. And this reality really started setting in because now my grandma is used to me paying for a certain amount of things. So now I've completely taken over everything. So I'm now got to be an adult, like full adult. Before, like the responsibility is on me, but I'm kind of getting money. It's fun.
Yeah.
But now, like, we don't have a way to make that anymore. And it needs, now I realize, like, the necessity that comes with a responsibility that comes with bills and shit like that. It's like it has to. It's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean you get like a 9-to-5?
Oh no, I started scamming.
Okay, you went back.
Mm-hmm.
And where did that take you? What kind of scamming?
Like credit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a relative who was doing it. Nobody wanted to teach me anything, but I kind of like shadowed him. Just like being over, oh, Unc, what you doing? And going over there and just like soaking up the game. And then that's how I just kind of knew. I ordered my own equipment and got rolling.
Mm-hmm.
got rolling. Like, and then as soon as I did it, my little brother Juice came up to me and was like, because I didn't tell nobody I was trying to do. I would just be like taking Bart to San Francisco.
Yeah. Mm.
And then coming back like no bags. And I came back with bags. Mm. They were playing PlayStation upstairs. I put the shit in my room. Juice comes downstairs. He's like, so what we doing?
What'd you tell him?
Theft.
Yeah, 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 yeah. At any point were you afraid that you were going to get caught?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time, every day. Because I'm not my parents. They were my parents. I always say my parents was like my Jesus. You know, he like died for your sins, mm-hmm, or whatever in the Bible. They went to jail for my mistakes that I would never make. Mm.
You know, you're watching your parents and you're not like, I'm just not going to do that at all.
No, hell no, because I needed paper. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was also kind of an ego thing too. Now that I honestly, I never thought about it this way, but like, maybe I was so stuck on like needing to get hella money because I wanted to keep up with my own self-image. Because to the Bay Area, I'm up here.
Right.
Like, people literally consider me a local celebrity.
And you're not going to just start working at Starbucks just because it's
hell
there.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Right. Hell no. Hell no. I was a girl that I was dating at the time who would then become my girlfriend for like 6 years. She was working at Peace Coffee. She got me an interview. Mm-hmm. In the interview, I got the job and I out-talked him and like proved him wrong 6 times. We only met for like 30 minutes.
How was he wrong in like 6 times in 30 minutes?
Man, he was wrong about the origin of his own company, of Pete's. And he's the manager there.
Was it Pete?
Nah. Pete's an old white dude from Berkeley. Hmm. But he was wrong about hella shit.
You got the job and you were like, fuck it. No, I'm not going to
say that. I never showed up.
You're bringing home bags.
Yeah.
How well are you living at this point?
Man, shit's picking up. So, in between me not scamming and me like trying to figure it out, I was just kind of like burning through my own money, living off handouts, asking people for help. My niggas is like trying to carry my weight. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing a lot. But I'm not scamming yet. So I'm depressed. I'm like locking myself in my room. I'm like drawing dark ass shit. Like, all my beats suck at this time.
Your girl still with you at this point?
Yeah, she in the room. So she became my girlfriend because I got tired of fucking so many bitches. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm literally fucking a bitch like, then I'm looking down like, what am I doing? Right. I didn't even know. I pulled out, went upstairs, made a sandwich, and then like that girl was my girlfriend.
Wow.
I called her like, yeah, I know, dude. Come over. And then it was it's another story for another time. Yeah. About like when I met her, I was high off of edible for hella long. And I had to get my stomach pumped and shit.
Holy shit.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
what does it say about her that she stuck around during this like real dark time?
Nah, I mean, it was cool, but she was also depressed.
No. Mm-hmm.
So it was
worse.
Did
you guys feed into each other?
Yeah, we kind of fed into each other because she was talking to like a black boy from Oakland and her parents wasn't fucking with that. She's Thai, black, and Cuban, but her parents was like big body in me.
Really? I'm trying to like do the math here, but
her mom's Thai and Cuban and her pops is black.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't okay with you.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Because I was from Oakland. Not really necessarily me being black, but I was just from Oakland.
Right.
And they had moved to like Gilroy or some shit, and they was living their bougie life.
Damn.
Yeah.
They obviously never went to a Project X party.
Exactly. Because I had this such wild image, and I like they didn't even get like communicate with me or nothing.
Yo, what do you think the basis of your depression was? Do you think it was like you went from this thing where you were like the most popping person out there to having no platform whatsoever anymore?
Yeah. It was me losing what I felt like was our dreams coming true, and the only way for me to make money. And then now I was cornered because I couldn't. If I go back to working a job, then in my mind I would be throwing away my career as a rapper, which I decided I wanted to do because I ended up being good at it.
And at that point, are you Guap Dad 4000?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm still YB Keem.
Right.
Recording. And you guys were all the YBs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're scamming, but you're rapping.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you're just like still making your own beats on Fruity Loops? You're Are you distributing this at all? Are you putting it on SoundCloud? Are you?
Man, I'm putting it on SoundCloud, and that's it. I didn't know what else to do.
You're not performing it live or anything?
Nah, I would perform at some parties. I was super big on the art scene because I paint and shit, so I'm performing at, like, all the artist shit. You know, I'm doing, like, all right, like, $300 a show or some shit like that here and there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm still a rapper, but I literally was, like, doing nothing. Even when I had hella money, like, flash forward, out of depression, like, off antidepressants, I started drinking, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I still didn't know what to do as a rapper. I had rapper friends. I'd help them with songs.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Sue, Kehlani,
wow.
Cool John.
And it's just because the Oakland scene is so small mm-hmm. that you know everybody.
Well, I mean, it's because it's so small and I was just as popping as them.
Right. But I'm saying that, like, it's not like in New York where you can have different scenes. Like, in New York,
yeah,
or in Oakland, it's like, okay, like, Kehlani, I Am Sue,
Kamaya,
like, all these people are coming up at the same time, like, yeah. in the same space.
Mm-hmm. It's like, we all here.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no other scene. Like, music-wise, there's hella scenes in the Bay, but music-wise,
right.
if you're, like, a musician, then there's one scene. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, were you...
Rap for, like, urban music.
Yeah.
So, like, we got, like, a good... In, like, hella rock bands came from the Bay and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, like, I'm speaking urban-wise.
During this dark time, are you still dressing like you had been dressing?
Nah, hell no. I, like, sold a couple shirts. I just was, like, trying to make money. And that's also how I stayed afloat. I was so attached to this one Givenchy shirt.
Yeah.
Because Kanye West had it. And at this time, all I'm listening to is, like, Can't Tell Me Nothing. That's like, that's changing my life right now. I've cried to that. Like, yeah. Bruh.
That's real.
I don't want to listen to nobody.
See, that's what you should have told Bryson Tiller.
See, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit him with all the shit I cried to as soon as I meet him. He can be like, what's up, man? I'm going to be like, can't tell me.
Just a whole list.
Yeah, a long line of, yeah. So what? Like, is the turn for you? Like, how do you make it out of that hole? Who helps you? Or do you help yourself?
I kind of just help myself with like, assistance from my peoples, my niggas.
That's not overnight shit, though.
No,
that's
it's like, not. It took a while because a lot of these niggas didn't even know I was depressed, nor did they know I had, like, tried to, you know what I'm saying, hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, they didn't know about none of that shit. So, like, once I start getting money, and, like, because the girl left me.
Mm.
So I'm hella sad.
Yeah.
But I'm scamming. And then I go to Arizona, go to jail, get out. But I made hella money.
Mm-hmm.
Hella money as soon as I got out. And I was just like, I'm bossing up on a bitch. I'm bossing up.
Yeah.
And that's when I was listening to Bryson Tiller crying and shit, but I'm bossing up.
Wait, this girl was with you for 6 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And one day she's gone.
Yeah.
That's a long relationship just to disappear.
Yeah.
What does the money do for you, though? Because, like...
You know, for me, I think, honestly, I just attached happiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came, I was able to move a certain way that I wasn't able to move when I didn't have anything and I was stuck in the house, like, in the bed. So I'm like, this must be happiness.
Yo, and all you're listening to is Can't Tell Me Nothing. And
yeah, like, come on.
What I do, act more stupidly.
Exactly.
So you went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
How long a bit was that?
I was only in jail for like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Like, but you did something down in Arizona?
I got caught up at the border with hella...
The Mexican border?
Nah, the border from California and Arizona.
Right.
Mm.
With hella devices.
Oh, for scamming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because devices could be a bunch of things. It could be like, I had a bunch of microwaves. Like, you know.
I actually did have a microwave, too. That's hella funny. No, because I had scammed for this microwave from Sears, and I was finna sell it to my auntie.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had it in a trunk. I swear to God, that's the most random shit for you to say.
So you do your week and a half down there. Does that mm-hmm. change anything?
Yeah, because I'm like, this is what my parents is going through. One is hella cold. Mm. It's so cold, and at the time, and still now, I have a sex problem, so I like need to fuck. So I'm trying to jack off, and it's freezing.
You got a sex problem like your mom has a money problem.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like I'm like, bro, get me out of here. Get me out of here. And it was so crazy because they dropped the charges on my paperwork. They dropped the charges like first day. I was supposed to get cited out. And I sat in there for like a week and a half. I never even seen none of my public defenders. Never showed up. I didn't even go to physical court. It was digital court the whole time.
They didn't show up.
9 digital court sessions.
Wait, public digital defender, court?
Like Skype. They took me to a room inside the same prison that they called the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. And they video you in?
Uh-huh.
What?
And you Skype the fucking judge. And she's like, what do you plead? Blah, blah, blah. Sanctions this, blah, blah, blah. Regulations that.
Wait.
And I don't know nothing.
You're on one end of this Skype with no public defender with you?
Yep.
How do you know what to say?
I couldn't say anything.
How was the connection?
A1.
It was good?
A1. Like, they hear you instantly.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, too. I was like, what is this powered by? Like,
yeah. It's Cisco.
Based
out of...
You could have played, too. You could be like, you're breaking up. Like, yeah, I don't know, Your Honor.
it's so clear. Like, the sound system's A1. It's like a nice computer.
But... Yeah. They dropped the charges.
Mm-hmm. They dropped the charges. They say, Hayes, roll up your mat. Roll my shit up. All the people who, like, fuck with me in jail is clapping. This white boy's hella mad. I'm getting out. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. They open up the gates and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And then where do you go? You go back to Oakland?
Nuh-uh. That same girl who had left me came down. She got money from the nigga that she was fucking with and got a rental. And then brought some money to give to me. And then I went and met my cousin, who I took the fall for in Arizona, and got to it. Because he said that he had found something out, how to do something. And it's something that I need to know about.
Wait, going back to the girl. So was this a long con for her to be fucking the other guy, steal his money,
took his money, yeah,
and the car, and came down to you? That's some loyalty shit.
She, I don't know what, it's confusing trying to figure out her motivations, because one, you never know how a woman feels internally when it comes to their secrets.
Mm.
If a woman decides to, like, take it to the grave, she damn near forgot she did it. So, I can't really speak on her internal motivations like that, but...
Does she want to do the podcast?
It'd be crazy to hear her perspective, because we got the most toxic relationship of all time.
Do we agree? It sounds toxic.
Well, no, it's horrible.
But we agree that, like, the female sex is smarter than, like, all of us here.
For sure.
And so I think I might be on board with what Jeff's saying. Like, it is a long con. She's like, you know.
Yeah.
Look at Sam nodding his head.
Oh, yeah, she's getting one over on you. Yeah.
Sam's married, so he knows. Yeah. He knows.
So, okay, now your cousin knows something.
Yeah.
What does he know?
He just found out. He found out this bin. Your bin is the tax bracket within the bank. He found that specific one out, and just everything we bought from there was going crazy.
So you're on
look
board.
At my face, going crazy.
And you're on board right away.
Hell yeah! I just got out of jail.
Yeah,
I'm horny and broke.
By the way, that's a great mixtape title.
Yeah, horny, horny,
bro. Horny and broke. I got many song names. I might name a song "Horny and Broke."
You should.
Yeah.
Now you're in it with him.
Yeah.
And where does that take you?
Oh, to that paper. That's where it took me. To that paper. Yo, it took me all out of state, traveling.
You go back and forth between like having tons of money and having no money.
Yeah.
And then back to tons of money again. Like
that was the trap cycle, because you spend it all because you know you can make it all back so fast. I'm in the in. It's better than drugs to me, because like you see your full return day of, unless you like a nigga selling pounds or something.
Right.
You gotta break it down, like give it to whoever you're dealing with, bag it and all that shit. I'm just going into a store and coming out.
You're just reciting a Yo Gotti song right now.
Have you been to a lot of casinos?
Yeah.
Are you a good gambler, or are you a bad gambler?
I don't gamble.
All right.
You just go. You like smoky air and no windows.
Nah, I was going to casinos to do cash advances off credit cards. That's what I was in casinos for.
You know what, by the way? That is the best way to get money at a casino.
Yeah.
That's smart. Mm-hmm. But you have that gambler's mentality is what I'm saying, though.
Yes. I was already... My hustle is a gamble, so...
Your back's against the wall,
you're still good. And I got it down to a science on how to minimize...
The risk?
The room to decline and the risk to go to jail. Yeah. As opposed to if I'm in a casino spending the same amount of money, I won't go to jail, but I'm damn sure could come out twice as broke as I was, so fuck that shit.
What are your favorite movies?
I like all cartoons. So I can't... Let me try to think of some human stuff. ATL is my favorite, like, black movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Just because the main character, like, had a fine-ass bitch and he was drawing and I draw. Mm-hmm. And I love to roller skate.
Right. I was just going to say
roller skating. Yeah.
Paid in Full.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with Cam.
And of course, he was my favorite character up until the end.
Oh, you're just saying that
because
you
hurt my feelings.
You're going to go hang out with him, so you have to say that.
No, that's right. Real, I'm that type of nigga, so, like, I'm literally showing up, like, showing my sex tape to my niggas, like, I'm pulling up in a fucking Versace robe, right. Like, I'm doing that.
Everything until the end.
Yeah. Everything until the end.
Yeah.
But that made for a good movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some other movie. I'm a nerd. I like Harry Potter and shit. All
right.
Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. What's the game? Like, Quidditch?
Quidditch, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay. You're back and forth. Now you're out of jail. And you're making money again. Is there any long-term plan? Are you like,
my goal?
I'm going to put this into my music now.
Yeah. No, my goal is, that's what I'm saying to myself in jail. Like, I'm finna put this into music. I'm finna start saving up. Because around this time, my mom is about to get out of jail. The house is kind of set. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I held it down.
Mm-hmm. You and your 5-6 friends.
We did our
good
thing.
Good looking out.
My brother's not in the house. My little brother not in the house. I kicked him out. We're always fighting. But I still would pull up with a big pack from Macy's and just drop him out here $1,200 worth of stuff. I'm like, man, I'm doing on music. I'm about to focus on me. I damn near don't even want to help with the house. Once you get out, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I did this for long enough. I had to raise kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck this shit. I damn near want to be hella selfish. But she couldn't understand it at first, but it was like she got it. You know what I'm saying? I got supportive parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they support. So I was like, I'm doing music. I just didn't know what to do. I had $30,000 in my pocket, and I walked up to a DJ from the Bay, and I had like $1,500 in Apple gift cards. I scanned from Oregon, and I'm like, bro, I want to buy you a laptop. I didn't even know how to approach it. I was like, yeah, man, I got these for you. You get a MacBook. Like, I'm trying to fuck with you. Like, follow you, shadow you, like, whatever I got to do. And he was just like, nah.
Yo, thank God he wasn't a cop.
He was.
Officer Espinoza?
Yeah. Nuh-uh. But he was like, nah. And I was like, damn, what do I do? So I kept scamming. Then I lost everything. Then I lost all my money because I had put it all in Bitcoin. But it was in a off the cloud wallet. Because I needed it, I would normally exchange through websites like local bitcoins or the ATMs. But you'd have limits, and I need 40 bands in this shit. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna just deal with these Haitians. The spot gets raided. The bitch I'm with goes to jail. I lose all my money, every single dollar. I have nothing. I call Fat Man crying, bro, I'm trying to rap. This is it. I'm tired of going broke. I'm tired of being up and not knowing what to do. I just want to rap. He was on tour with Pinch, and Pinch was open up for another tour. Somebody, I don't know, but they're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, get to L.A. today, and I got there on the mega bus. I scammed for the ticket. Got there. I had $20, spent $2 on a Gatorade at $18.
To your name.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, got to the studio. Yeah. And that's how I got to LA.
I feel like this is like a movie.
Yo, that's a one way scam ticket too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your whole life is on you right then and there.
Mm-hmm. But it's always been on me though. It was just a trend. This is how it's on me this time. That's how I was looking at it.
So when you get to the studio, what's your sort of outlook like? Are you like, I'm just gonna like stay here and record until I got a project, or
see, luckily,
politic or
Sam? Mm-hmm. And for people listening, Sam's my manager.
Yes.
So Sam got a big ass heart, so he kind of already had dealt with somebody like sleeping in the studio before. I don't know who it was, but he was just like, well, there's a grocery store down the street. Little Caesars is hella cheap. It's a 24-hour fitness. You can like get a free membership and shower up over there. And like, there's the couch.
And you're going to an actual studio, or is it like a studio?
It's a studio. It's a studio. You got a studio.
So that's like costing money.
Yeah.
And so
it's not, I mean, it's his studio, so it's costing him money for rent and electricity, of course.
Mm-hmm. He's a gambler because he's taking a bet.
Exactly.
Yeah. What did Sam see in you?
I don't know, man. Maybe just talent, or in the hopes. Because I'm a good rapper. I've always been a good rapper. I did a song with his artist before he was popping.
Young Pinch.
Yeah. And he liked me enough to like put me on a song. I didn't even know if he heard my music yet. Because I was so new to the industry, I didn't know people actually do research before they meet people or like planned for things. So I didn't know. I just thought like, man, this dude don't even know I can rap. He go put me on a song with his artist. Then I'm going through my phone as I'm like broke, lost all my money, and I'm like, damn, Pinch popping now. Everything that he told me he was gonna do, he did.
Mm. Well, how did you meet Pinch?
Through Sam. He was in the studio. Gotcha. When I would have hella money, or just like be in LA, like fucking with bitches, like shooting videos that I would do nothing with, that just me and my director still to this day, like we're just like fucking around, experimenting, being creative. I would record at his studio, at Sam's studio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I met Sam and Pinch.
Gotcha.
And now you're Guap Dad 4000.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that name come from?
Me and Kehlani were like trying to bring back AIM.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like going to get sidekicks. I like scam for a sidekick and shit. But T-Mobile wouldn't cut them on. They were like, nah, none of the plans fit. The sidekick data, whatever, can't handle 4G and shit like that. So it was like, we were stuck, but we came up with that name. Because guap doesn't, I'm not talking about money. It comes from the Filipino word guapo, which means handsome.
Mm-hmm. Which is also Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spanish, like, took over parts of the Philippines.
See.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Guap Dad 4000 was your AIM screen name?
Yeah, it was going to be. Because like, I was calling myself guapo, guap, guap, gracias.
Woo.
Yeah, handsome, money, money, thank you.
I like that. Also, would be a great mixtape title or song name, whatever. Yeah. No, that's fire, though.
Yeah. By the way, you did not succeed in bringing AIM back, so
yeah.
That's another loss.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Definitely took that L.
Yeah.
Definitely took that L.
So what's Los Angeles like? Like, it's a big city. A lot of people who, you know, move there.
Man, it's bitches.
Yes. But a lot of those bitches are aimless. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because
they don't have AIM. They're aimless, though. Like, they don't know what's going to go on in terms of, like, their career.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are waitresses. A lot of them are, like, aspiring actresses. And a lot of them are just, like, doing whatever they got to do.
I was at this party with the homie. She does music. Her parents are like super rich, hella rich. Like her dad's like a billionaire or some shit. Like they got hella money.
Mm-hmm.
Her mama was like 100-some Airbnbs or some shit like that.
Huh?
And then I was just looking around. Like a lot of these people got hella followers. A lot of these people like came out here to like do their dream, and like this is what they resulted to: coke. So then I wrote this song called "The Whites Are Doing Coke Again."
Mm-hmm.
And
where does that song take you?
It took me to a place, because I realized while I was watching these people do the lines, it's weird for me, but I gotta act normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm still like trying to get at the bitch, cause she hella fine.
Right.
Not my homie through the party, but like just one of their partners. This Russian bitch, big ass titties. And I realized, bro, it's hell of us out here. us meaning just like people coming to like LA to like dance and sing, do art, stage design, like every fucking niche area in entertainment, people come out, like it's hell of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, bro, I'm really doing this shit in my mind. So that's what LA means to me. It's mm-hmm. like a place for me to like really do this shit.
You had been on Tumblr. When do you move over to Instagram?
I was on Instagram super early because my homie recommended it on Facebook. I was like, yeah, download this app, Instagram. Like, because I went to private school and some of those dudes end up being techies.
Mm-hmm.
So then they all, like, you know.
They went across the bridge. Mm-hmm. They went over to San Francisco.
Yeah. It was in San Francisco. So they already there. Same people who put me on Facebook before, like, it hit the black community, the black internet community. Because we were still on MySpace
mm-hmm.
when people were transitioning to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people who put me on Instagram. So I always had one. And then I'm like, all right, I'm finna really start using this. And then I'm just a like, entertaining dude.
Yeah.
So people want to watch
this podcast says otherwise.
People want to watch me regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
Of, like, whatever I'm on. I like the crest on that shit.
Yeah.
So I was just popping on everything that I touched.
Mm-hmm. What did you want your Instagram to be like? Like, that would separate you from everybody else?
I ain't know. At the time, I was, like, getting into fashion and shit, and I'm just putting, like, my Tumblr shit on there. I'm just trying to get, like, the baddest bitches and talk shit.
Mm-hmm.
But
did
I wasn't.
You?
Oh, no, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Every time, like, look, everything that I do, I'm trying to fuck bitches and talk shit. So throw parties, fuck bitches and talk shit. Go to McDonald's,
yep.
Fuck bitches and talk shit.
Okay.
Get back on AIM,
mm-hmm.
to fuck bitches and
talk shit.
Exactly. So that's what was my goal. So I was just doing that. But one time it clicked. It was my 24th birthday.
This is last year.
Yeah, it's my 24th birthday, and I'm looking at my phone, and I'm like, I got some money in my pocket, and I'm like, shh. Turn the camera on, bitch. She turned the camera on. I'm like, sprinkle this money on me. She's sprinkling. Bills falling. I'm like, it's my 24th birthday. And I just start going the whole spiel on, like, I'm about to drink all the Hennessy, catch all the Pokemon. I'm never going to be broke in the mind, but I still eat cup noodles.
And it just goes wild.
And it just goes wild. It goes crazy. Goes crazy. Like, people rip it off Twitter. Like, I went to sleep. I was like two Hennessy bottles in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I fell asleep. She was
you
sucking my dick.
Henny.
Yeah, no, I did.
Yeah.
She was sucking my dick. I don't even remember if we was finished that whole transaction. That dick to throat deposit.
Yeah. Oh no, right. I'm with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember waking up like notifications in the thousands, and I'm like, what the fuck? First video went crazy, went viral. So now I kinda like got second wind.
Now you got to double up.
Yeah, now I got to double up. My birthday comes around on my 25th.
You only do it on your birthday?
Yeah. I couldn't follow up. I tried.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I was trying other stuff. It wasn't me.
What were you trying? Like characters?
Characters, skits, yeah. Things like that. That shit wasn't working because people only liked in my birthday video because it was me.
Mm-hmm. Right, you were being yourself.
I had to be myself and be 100.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did on my next birthday. That went viral. I talk shit.
Yeah.
I told motherfuckers that I was born better than them. I'm better than everybody watching the video. I told them that I was the best sperm, obviously. So I've been that nigga since a single celled organism and have remained so now that I'm multiple celled.
And where does that, so you know, Instagram video obviously, like whose accounts is that getting on?
Man, it got on like so, like, World Star, all the big, like,
mm-hmm.
Bossip, Snoop Dogg played a major role in it blowing up the second time. And he also just blew me up a third time because I was making videos from then on just, like, confessing to the camera. Like, basically, like, bro, my life's spiraling out of control. I have a Hennessy problem. I'm addicted to sex. I can't stop watching fucking Japanese cartoons.
And people are like.
Yeah,
like.
People is like, this is me. Yeah. This is me. And it's so crazy because people like the video so much that they like even if they didn't identify with everything, they'll like repost and be like, I'm not sexually attracted to tacos, but I do like chicken wings, and I drink tequila like he drinks Hennessy. Look at this, mom. Like a pastor, a popular pastor on Facebook, posted me as an example of like how to confess to him.
What?
Yeah.
You made it.
Wow. A real role model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
you are a man of God, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You know, they say like God created everybody in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I must look like the closest to him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So what's a good story from a family member who saw any of these videos?
Your confessions.
Yeah.
You are so crazy. My family wasn't surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, yeah, we've seen this.
Yeah, because
we've heard
it's this. Me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Me. Yeah.
Amazing.
I never really even thought about it either, but like literally I got no backlash, no nothing. It was just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Did your family know that like you were a star like that? I mean, like obviously like you had been throwing, yeah, like you'd been throwing parties, you'd been like the local star, right? Like that you were so like out here like that.
Everybody expected it to be. I've been the star child.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was the smartest.
Mm-hmm.
I was the most talented. I was like the person helping everybody with their homework. Like I'm tutoring family members, older people. Like I'm doing it all.
What was the first time meeting Snoop like?
I haven't met Snoop yet.
You haven't met him yet?
Nuh-uh.
What are you waiting for?
For him to just be like, nephew. And I'm like, oh man, Neiman Marcus nephew on the way. Yeah.
So yeah, so you did this interview with NotionUs.com. Do you remember this?
No. I don't remember this at all.
Oh. Well, you did.
I don't remember that at all. I probably did the interview drunk.
Wait, maybe God did it because, you know,
yeah.
Same image, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you did this interview with NotionUs.com back in October of 2016. And even back then, you had been in the studio, in CeeLo's studio.
Yeah.
So how does that happen?
CeeLo was like... That's where Sue had booked a session, and that's where he did a backflip at for Casey Veggies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there from start to finish. And it was weird for me. That was my first like music experience because I like freestyled some bars. We were all freestyling. Casey didn't know me. We both had a Ferragamo polos.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, we got... Ferragamo? I wasn't a Ferragamo Falcon yet, though.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you had to evolve into that. Right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I was just like a Cartier, like Chiclet. Yeah. So I left. I went to 7-Eleven. I came back. Damn near every bar that I freestyled was like on the song. And I was like, whoa. But I didn't know. I was juiced. I was excited. I was stoked.
Wait, so nigga. You ghostwrote for one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So you were stoked, like,
and I don't even count it as a ghost ride. It was just like maybe you just like I don't know. I don't know how, but that was my first experience in the thing. And CeeLo was there, and I remember he had like booked one of the rooms out just for his cat.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a boss move, though.
A boss ass motherfucking move.
Right?
What the fuck?
We should all aspire to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's so, very goals. That's very me.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to be like, this is Margiela Mittens. He needs a 6-hour block with an engineer.
So,
and a classical pianist to never stop playing.
Is it normal for you or weird for you to be around all of these seasoned artists?
It's inspiring. It's not weird.
Yeah. You didn't feel like intimidated to be like, oh, well, there's CeeLo, there's Casey Veggies, there's I'm Sue.
CeeLo was just there. He wasn't actually in the studio with us.
Mm-hmm. His cat was.
Yeah.
Were you intimidated by the cat?
Yeah, because he's richer than me. And I don't like being one-upped by animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, if there's anything we know about you, it's that you do things for the money and the pussy, so
yeah.
That fit right in. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you're around all these guys.
You've been to Wiz's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Empty.
Yeah.
Like no furniture?
No, it was just like not a lot of people there.
Mm. Being around all these artists is inspiring. did it take your art to a whole nother level?
For sure, because I soak up game. I soak up game. Like, even when we first got up here, I was, because people wanted me to, like, do a podcast, so I didn't already peep your whole setup.
Yeah.
Mm. Recording on GarageBand, three mics, stay close. Bumps.
That's what it is.
Like,
Yeah.
I soaked up the whole formula when I got here. So, like, just imagine that in a recording session. Like, I'm peeping. Oh, man, these cats are working. Because I've always been a good rapper, but it take me a while to rap at first. So I'm like, 16 bars. Like, hey, can you play that part back?
Right.
And I'm trying to be the dude, like, need to convince these bigger people to put me on a song.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with somebody like Sue, that nigga move at lightning speeds. Lightning speeds. He flying through songs in like 5 minutes. Anthem hooks.
Mm.
I'm like, I got to keep up. And so I just applied that to me, started working faster. Even now, like, I'm meeting a lot of great songwriters. I'm taking that in because I'm trying to advance my songwriting in terms of, like, content, song structure, hook, and shit like that. So all I do is watch and learn. I'm a visual learner.
Mm. But so now, when you're putting out your music, do you feel like you've hit your stride?
I feel like I'm starting to.
Yeah.
I'm definitely starting to.
And what sort of showed you that?
Just the response from the project.
Mm.
I didn't know what it was going to be like. Because to my mind, it was just all the songs that I had first recorded when I moved into the studio. Only like two or three of those songs are like super recent. Everything else was hella early. So I wanted... it was Sam's idea to put it out in a way that like... feeds the people so they can grow with me.
Because
now I'm in a different place than I was when I made that project.
Sure.
And I'm better. But I can't just come out like that because it's weird. So having seen the people react that way to what I put out, to Scamboy Color, which is the name of it, I feel unstoppable. I just want to keep doing me. I didn't have to like sound like anybody. I didn't have to force anything. I just had to rap.
Mm.
It feels hella good.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, and you're in charge of your whole image, your whole sound, your whole everything, right?
Uh-huh.
No one is there being like A&R in your stuff. No one's like, you know.
Just my partners.
Yeah.
But mostly it's just me.
Yeah.
That's it. I live with somebody who would go on to like do creative stuff for me later on. But right now he just like helps out where he can, the assistant work and shit sometimes. His name's Christian. And it's like my cousin, but also best friend. So he's like my second ear on shit. And then Sam, of course. But that's it. I like all the dudes who were in the group, all staying in the house, we still, I'm like tight.
Yeah.
Tight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll text them drafts and they'll be like trash, garbage, or fire. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I got a lot of people to...
Yeah, that's great to have people who are, like, honest with you.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of no men.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep it that way because, one, I'm reckless as fuck. Like, as fuck. I was hungover drunk before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wild. So, I need them type of people. For sure.
You need them to say no when you're like, just another round of Doucet.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
So now... there's a lot of interest from major labels around you.
Yeah, we've been hearing your name
everywhere.
Different labels for the past, like, I would say month and a half.
Yeah.
Right?
That's dope.
Yeah.
What do you want from a partner?
The ability to do what I was doing, but at the same time, like, I don't care working under pressure because I work well under pressure, but I want the ability to, like, get better. Through this whole recording process when I was making this project, I've like knew that I was getting better as I was doing it. Sort of like playing a video game when you start like chaining longer combos in Mortal Kombat and shit, and you like, I'm low key beating ass right now. So I want to really like master it. And I feel like if you sit and you listen to the project front to back, it's no way that you could be like, man, I absolutely hate this. Do I have any like standout like radio hits? No. So that's maybe what I would want, is like them to bring me some radio hits. Like, let's make some mainstream money. But at the same time, that's not my, like, I'm trying to create like raw shit and be an individual and a brand.
And yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best part. I also really like that you do your own artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about, were there any other versions of the cover for your mixtape?
No.
That was just always the vision.
Yeah. Sam was like, man, start the covers. And I was catting for a while because I got to feel like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just felt like doing it one day when he was like, start the fucking cover. And then I was like, all right, I started that process. I didn't finish him when he wanted me to either, but I just kind of know.
Mm.
It's that.
So what does your extended family think now?
They like, I got a lot of people like trying to like join into this shit, you know what I'm saying?
Your family's gotten bigger suddenly.
Not really bigger, but like, cause I won't let it.
Mm. But like, if Eric and I start calling like, if we're like, yo, that's my cousin now.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
I've been trying to like marry into a Jewish family forever. So like, I'm damn near fucking with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just like people.
I want to go
like
to your wedding
to
because I know
shit.
They're gonna wear khakis and like, you know, a collared shirt, just like all the Jews do, right?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Jewish clothes.
Yeah.
Actually, for my wedding, I'm gonna fucking cascade from the ceiling,
like a waterfall.
No, like a Givenchy glitter glisten.
Wow.
Yo, you love alliteration.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one loves alliteration more than you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be on a fucking all white harness
mm-hmm.
with my chest out.
Mm.
I don't want a bow tie. I want to have a sexy wedding. Sexy.
Grown and sexy.
Yeah.
Hard bottoms only.
Grown and sexy. if it doesn't sound like hard bottoms clacking.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Nuh-uh.
No.
I want to like spin around and do childish shit when I had my grown man slip and slides on. I'm gonna come down on the fucking hydraulic lift or the harness or whatever. And then I'm going to touch my wife ring finger with my pointer finger.
Mm-hmm. It's just like the creation of Adam.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
At the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michelangelo.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Fine art.
And then tell her,
yeah,
I love you, bitch.
Mm.
No, because you know why he gets married. He gets married for money and bitches, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, so before we get out of here, I have two more questions. I don't know how many you have. But, all right, one, how many? What's your nicest durag?
The one that I made.
Which is?
The Celine Dad 4000, now available on guapdad4000.com. No, but like, literally, it's a silk and satin blend, so it has a good stretch to it, and it's soft as hell.
Yeah.
So it's the best fabric. But I do like the pure silkies, but they don't stretch.
Right.
I got these from a New York brand called Silk City.
Mm-hmm.
And they like just drop some durags with Ferg.
That's
it's like solid colors. I like them.
Yeah.
But I like the fabric on mine the best, yeah.
Who stole that fabric?
The manufacturer. I was not involved in the purchase of the fabric.
Right.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
My last question is, so I was obviously watching a lot of your videos.
Uh-huh.
And the more I listened to your voice, the more I was like, yo, he sounds exactly like Lloyd.
I get this. I knew you were going to say Lloyd.
Really?
I knew you. I get it all the time.
You. Well, by the way, your grandfather, that's Louisiana blood right there, right?
Mm.
So
you don't think.
Yo.
Cuzzo. Where you at? I need a hook.
But I was wondering if you could just read this.
Yeah. It's young Lloyd reporting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Wheezy F baby. Decatur where it's greater. And I want all my sexy ladies to report to the dance floor immediately. We gonna go and glide this one, y'all. Speak, Wheezy. That's a classic right off the bat. Yeah, the boy got dialed. I know that verse too.
Of course you know the verse. It's you. No, the song is you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's hella funny.
Congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
Man, we just wish you all the success in the world. You're on a hell of a wave. It's like a microwave, you know, but it's a wave.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but we appreciate you stopping by.
Microwave still cooks you.
That's what I'm saying. just don't cross the border with me. You know what I'm saying? yo, thanks for coming up and congratulations.
Hey man, thank y'all for having me. This was dope. This is one of my funner interviews ever.
I just hope you remember.
Yeah. Yo, appreciate you. Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of Waste Time with It's The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about us, we are It's The Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real, and there's 167 other episodes they can get into. If people want to know more about our 10-year career and the brand that we built, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com, no apostrophes, no spaces, no service. We are also on iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real, or go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime, or should you be on Stitcher or any other Android app, we are there as well. You can always listen to our music, and I suggest you do listen to our music because now the Roots have approved some of it. So go to Spotify, listen to Teddy Bear Fresh, or you can go to Tidal because the splits there are the best. Right. You can also go to Apple Music. You can also go to SoundCloud. You can go anywhere else. Go find our music, Teddy Bear Fresh by It's The Real. If you want to find us on Instagram, where we have gained over 250 followers this week,
hey,
then maybe you should find us on Instagram.
Where?
At It's The Real.
Oh.
You can also go to Twitter at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, on Snapchat. We are It's The Real, even though we barely use it, but we always appreciate the followers. And we are on Twitch at It's The Real, because It's The Real was taken.
I don't think we're ever going to use Twitch. I'm just going to be very honest. I don't think we're ever going to use it, but I'm glad that we are what?
It's the real. I just like collecting followers so we can sell the information and make some money off of
you
that.
You know what? Get it how you live.
Yeah.
Guys, we know that this podcast is not going anywhere, not to Akron, not to Los Angeles, not to London, not to back to New York, unless you guys spread the word. We want to double up our audience, and we know it starts with us. We like to shout you guys out, and we appreciate you spreading the word. Jeff, who do you want to shout out this week?
I want to shout out, first and foremost, KingRel__, who said y'all should interview GuapDad 4000, and we had already done it.
Nice. So we're on the same wavelength
as KingRel__. I also want to shout out Posh_Shino. I want to shout out Mac the Most. I want to shout out Sheeta, who said that GuapDad 4000, aka, must have been fire.
I
absolutely
really hope it was.
Yeah.
You know, for your sake, Sheeta.
Yeah.
I, Jeff, would like to shout out three people as well. Those are our friends, Amir Abbasi, Jamal Jamot, and Kazim Famuide.
Yes.
Shout out to those guys who were nice enough to drop everything they were doing
during Grammy Week
and join us for a much needed, fantastic lunch downtown. It was great to catch up with them. They're three amazing people, and it was good just to sort of like talk on a human level, just how life is, what we're excited about, and enjoy some good food.
And it was dope to not have cameras around, because when you have
Twitch followers like us.
Yeah, when you have Duce Palooza's own Kazim Famuide, when you have when you have Jamal Jamot, who is one of the funniest people in the game, when you have Amir Abbasi, Blame the Label, who's one of the nicest people.
You know, it was just refreshing to sit down with those guys and just hang out. That was really great. Shout out to them. Hopefully we'll do more of those. Shout out to all you guys for listening to this episode. And shouts once again to The Roots for playing our song Waco as entrance music on The Tonight Show. And I don't know when we're ever coming back to Earth, but we're enjoying it. As always, guys, now for real.
Sure.
We'll see you guys next week.